This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Delta warnings. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Wednesday, June 24th. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Health experts continue to caution Americans about the Delta variant of the coronavirus, plus the U.S. will miss a July 4th vaccination goal.
The Justice Department has seized 36 websites operated by Iran that it says are associated with either disinformation or violent organizations.
Fed Chairman Jerome Powell expects shortages of things like cars and computer chips to fade over time, keeping inflation near the 2% target.
And colleges searching for high school grads who veered off the higher education path.
These are students who maybe graduated high school and had planned to go to college and then never showed up, or started school and left pretty quickly. You know, they were just not interested in doing the online schooling. They maybe soured on it last spring, and they might be working. They might just not be doing much of anything right now.
Melissa Korn at the Wall Street Journal of colleges tempting pandemic grads with cold calls and scholarships. By the way, I started off saying it was June 24th. It is Wednesday, June 23rd. We'll start things off on Capitol Hill. An elections bill in Congress is on the back burner, at least for now. Senate Republicans yesterday blocked Democrats from moving ahead with the measure. All 50 Democrats voted in favor of a procedural bill, but it drew no GOP backing, leaving it short of the 60 votes needed to overcome a Republican filibuster. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell.
This is not a federal issue. It ought to be left to the states. There's nothing broken around the country. The system upheld very well during intense stress.
Democrats have discussed breaking the measure up into smaller bills to be voted on individually, or packaging some elements with a separate bill that could draw at least some Republican support. Democrat Tina Smith of Minnesota.
I think we have to keep on pushing. This is too important for us just to say, oh, well, so sad, too bad. We weren't able to take the steps that we need to take to protect our elections.
Although he voted in favor of proceeding, Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia was at odds with other Democrats on voter ID requirements and on allowing absentee voting for any reason. Former police captain Eric Adams is leading in partial results in the New York City Democratic primary for mayor. Mr. Adams, who's also the borough president of Brooklyn, had 31% of first choice votes in the city's new ranked choice voting system.
New York City said our first choice is Eric Adams. Yeah!
Maya Wiley, former counsel to Mayor Bill de Blasio, was in second with 22%, and former sanitation department head Catherine Garcia was third. Voters' preferences will be redistributed in the ranked choice system, with the first batch of results released next week. In the Republican mayoral primary, Curtis Sliwa, founder of the crime prevention group Guardian Angels, won with nearly 69%.
That's what we are, caring Republicans, caring independents, and populists.
The Democratic incumbent, Mr. de Blasio, is leaving office after reaching his term limit. He did not endorse any candidate, nor did any of the top three finishers want his endorsement. Well, the COVID-19 pandemic is receding in America, but some of the changes it prompted in America's elections are here to stay. Zach Montalero, state politics reporter at Politico, says a handful of states are locking in voting rights expansions that they piloted in 2020, extending early voting and absentee balloting programs. Zach, explain.
Basically, you know, a lot of the focus nationally has been on a lot of states that have somehow moved to add restrictions to the voting booth, which is certainly true. That's definitely happening in some states. But there's been a handful of states across the country, mostly Democratic-led, but not exclusively, that have kind of taken what they did during the pandemic and adapted it permanently, whether that be expanding in-person voting, early voting, expanding mail voting in some way, shape, or form. So there's some states that, you know, with no federal legislation really coming down the pipe have kind of taken it in their own hands and kind of kept what they did in 2020 permanently.
All right, like give an example.
So I'll give you two, I guess. So there's a pair of states that are now moving to universal mail voting. That is the practice of automatically mailing all active registered voters a ballot. You don't need to request it. It just shows up in your mailbox. Five states already did that pre-pandemic: Washington, Oregon, Utah, Hawaii, and Colorado. And now two more states are joining them, Nevada and Vermont. Both of those states in 2020 decided to mail all their voters a ballot during the pandemic because they, in the state, determined that that would be the best route to go, safest route to go, and now it worked for them. They, you know, officials in the state said it worked. They passed laws to do it, and they're going to be doing that permanently. So voters in Vermont, for all general elections going forward, are going to be getting their ballots in the mail. And same thing for voters in Nevada. They're going to now be getting ballots in the mail for primary and general elections.
So for some of these states, you said if you're an active voter, you automatically get something in the mail. What determines whether or not you're an active voter? You participated in the most recent election, or how do they do that?
Yeah, definitionally, it depends state by state. You know, active voter is generally someone who has voted at least once in the past couple of cycles. Something on file with the Secretary of State. They have their address on file with the Secretary of State. Sometimes if you don't vote for a while, a Secretary of State's office will do list maintenance and send something and say, hey, if you're still registered to vote, if you still live here, please respond.
Okay.
So it depends state by state. But, you know, active voters are generally someone who's voted recently and generally has an up-to-date address with the Secretary of State.
We're speaking with Zach Montalero, state politics reporter at Politico. His story is called "The Pandemic Changed How We Vote. These states are making the changes permanent." Talk to you about what Kentucky has done.
Yeah, so Kentucky is actually the rare, largely red state that has added, that has made, you know, a relatively significant expansion of voting rights. Kentucky is a state that has a Republican-controlled legislature. It votes red on all federal elections. Interestingly, right now, they have a Democratic governor, Andy Beshear, but by and large, Kentucky's a fairly red state. And what they did is that they're going to have in-person early voting for the first time in their history, not really counting the pandemic. So they had it. They brought in-person early voting during the pandemic because they wanted to spread voters out. Officials there, Democratic and Republican, said, well, that was successful. We want to keep this. So now they'll have 3 days of in-person early voting before elections. That's not a lot on the grand scheme of things. Some states offer 2 weeks. Some states offer even more than that. But the fact that a red state, basically on a bipartisan basis, kind of moved forward to add a new method of voting that they piloted during the pandemic, and it is in and of itself notable.
Got it. And California is on track to make some changes as well?
Yeah, California right now, California also mailed all of their voters a ballot in 2020. That's going to be in place for 2021, at least temporarily, for the recall of Governor Gavin Newsom. But going forward, California is really driving to make that permanent in their state. It passed one of the two state legislative chambers, needs to go to the other one, but it's a Democratic-controlled state. It was very popular in 2020, they say, and also, a lot of California voters already get their ballots via the mail. Right now, counties can opt into doing it. So what they're looking to do is basically remove the opt-in feature that all voters will get their ballots in the mail, and it's got to pass the legislature. It looks like that will be the case. Of course, predicting sometimes what legislatures do is a foolhardy game, but it's possible, and it looks like that's the direction we're heading there as well.
Thanks, Zach. Zach Montalero, state politics reporter at Politico. Coming up next, the latest on the Delta variant. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness? We're all dealing with a lot right now. I'm sure you feel the same kind of added stress I do. Then you should know about BetterHelp. BetterHelp isn't a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. Start communicating in under 48 hours. Schedule weekly or monthly phone or video sessions or whatever works for you. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. That's why there's a special offer for This Morning with Gordon Deal listeners. 10% off your first month. Visit BetterHelp.com/Gordon. That's BetterHelp.com/Gordon. And join the over 1 million people who've taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp, they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. That's 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/Gordon.
Expert insight, world-class reporting. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Glad you're with us. Welcome into Wednesday. The White House says the U.S. will not achieve President Biden's goal for 70% of the adult population to receive at least one coronavirus vaccine dose by July 4. Mr. Biden had set the goal in early May with an aim for a return to normalcy to mark Independence Day. White House COVID-19 coordinator Jeffrey Zients said yesterday the target had been met for those age 30 and over, but not for the overall eligible population. He said a few extra weeks are needed to hit that target.
That's why we'll keep working to vaccinate more Americans across the summer and into the fall. As I said, we are not stopping at 70%, and we're not stopping on July 4th.
Meanwhile, the highly transmissible Delta variant of the virus is spreading so rapidly in the U.S. that it could become the dominant strain in the next 2 to 3 weeks. Public health officials say the Delta variant is particularly risky to people who are unvaccinated. Delta is about 50% more transmissible than the current dominant U.S. strain called Alpha. 20 minutes after the hour on this morning, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Senate Republicans have blocked debate of a sweeping overhaul of how elections are run in the U.S. The bill was pushed by congressional Democrats who argue it's needed to counter a spate of new GOP laws this year, tightening voting rules in the states. Republican Senator Roger Wicker of Mississippi.
My colleagues who are pushing S1 say they are trying to save democracy, but in fact, the bill would actually harm democracy.
Democrats say their efforts to pass the bill will continue.
Number two.
Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell acknowledges that some inflation pressures are stronger and more persistent than he had anticipated, though still not on par with some of the worst episodes the U.S. has seen historically.
As these transitory supply effects abate, inflation is expected to drop back toward our longer-run goal.
Powell attributes inflation to the economic reopening, citing airline tickets, rental cars, hotel prices, and lumber, along with surging consumer demand. He says those factors should resolve themselves in the coming months.
Number three.
More than 30 web domains linked to the Iranian regime have been seized by U.S. agencies. Visitors to the affected websites were greeted with a banner that said the domains had been seized by the U.S. government. The notice cites several legal justifications for the action, including civil and criminal forfeiture laws, as well as the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, which grants the president the power to regulate international commerce in response to threats to U.S. security. Approximately 900 Secret Service employees tested positive for the coronavirus, according to government records obtained by a watchdog group. 881 people on the Secret Service payroll were diagnosed with COVID between March 1, 2020 and March 9th of this year. More than half worked in the Special Agent Division, which is responsible for protecting the president and vice president. There's a good chance you're still lending a big financial hand to your kids. According to a new study from Bank of America, 31% of parents say they're supporting their children more now than they did before COVID. Many also said they're willing to pay for major expenses of life events. 75% of current or future parents say they'd be willing to pay for their child's college education, and 74% said they'd be willing to pay for their child's wedding.
A friend of mine from high school on Facebook refers to his kids, not by name, but as cost center number one and cost center number two.
That's accurate.
Appropriate. Coming up next, the new recruitment strategy by colleges.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like the world is throwing everything it has at you. And to succeed, you need someone to guide you through. That's what Dell Technologies Advisors do. They have the tech advice to help you navigate whatever challenges you're up against and get you safely to where you want to be.
For advice on solutions like XPS 13 laptops powered by Intel Evo platform, call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Innovation, resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Roughly 727,000 fewer students enrolled in undergraduate programs this spring compared with the same time last year. The year-over-year declines were nearly as steep in the fall. Now high schools and colleges are trying to get these students back. More from Melissa Korn, higher education reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Melissa, set the scene.
So hundreds of thousands of students who graduated high school in 2020, in spring of 2020, did not go on to college that fall or this past spring. And there is a really big push right now by high schools and by colleges to find those students and bring them back into the fold so that they don't get kind of too waylaid for too long and disappear from the higher ed pipeline.
Wow. What's the pitch that these schools are making? Because you said they're doing lots of outreach, right?
Yeah, so for some, it's just a reminder that, hey, you know, that retail job you have right now might be good, but long term, you know, your prospects are limited without some sort of post-secondary education. Others are proposing scholarships, so $500 or $1,000, which for a community college can really cover quite a bit of cost just to get those students back in the door or in the door in the first place. And these are students who maybe graduated high school and had planned to go to college and then never showed up, or started school and left pretty quickly. You know, they were just not interested in doing the online schooling. They maybe soured on it last spring and just, they might be working. They might just not be doing much of anything right now.
Wow. All right. So one of the schools you referenced was Wilkes Community College in North Carolina, kind of using its own students to make calls, correct?
Yeah, it's having its students call people who graduated from generally their own high schools. So kind of, hey, oh yeah, I had Mrs. Smith as well. And by the way, listen, I was in your shoes a year or two ago. Let me tell you about this college and why you really should consider coming. So it's what's called a near peer approach, rather than having some administrator who's 50 years older than the student calling and trying to forge some connection. This is somebody who already has a built-in connection and can maybe help answer questions and make it seem a little bit more manageable.
You used a phrase in your story, too, that I had not heard before called summer melt. What does that mean?
Yes, so summer melt, it's a phenomenon that is when people commit to going to a particular college and then don't show up. They kind of melt away from that path, if you will, and they may do so because they didn't complete certain forms that they needed to finish their registration, and they panic and they, you know, realize, oh goodness, I think I can't do this at all. Or maybe they got an offer from another school that was higher up on their list. You know, they got off the wait list somewhere. Or in some cases, they had a summer job that they really like and want to continue working at.
Thanks, Melissa. Melissa Korn, higher education reporter at The Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Do you love seafood when you're eating out, but never make it for yourself at home? Overwhelmed by the seafood counter, unsure of which cut to choose? Yeah, me too. But I learned the key to restaurant quality dishes at home starts with high quality seafood and simple techniques from Wild Alaskan Company. Wild Alaskan Company delivers high quality, sustainably sourced, wild caught seafood right to your door. Choose from salmon, whitefish, or a combination, and explore different specials every month. There's a 100% satisfaction guarantee, and you can adjust, pause, or cancel your membership anytime. Right now, you can get $15 off your first box of premium seafood when you visit wildalaskancompany.com/Gordon. Wild Alaskan Company seafood is how nature intended it to be. Always wild, never farmed or modified, and it contains no antibiotics. Get your nutrition from nature with Wild Alaskan Company. That's wildalaskancompany.com/Gordon for $15 off your first box. wildalaskancompany.com/Gordon.
We are America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us, and welcome into Wednesday, June 23rd. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Senate Republicans block the Democrats' election changes. Arrests at the school board meeting in Loudoun County, Virginia, as residents spoke on issues like transgender policy and critical race theory. Justice Department seizes 36 Iranian websites peddling disinformation. Buffalo set to have a socialist as mayor. Connecticut legalizes recreational pot. Another record high for the NASDAQ. Pistons get the top pick in the NBA draft, and 100 Amazon deliveries that she did not order. That story in about 20 minutes. This portion of the program is brought to you by Capital One. Capital One has no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts. That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Capital One NA, member FDIC. President Biden today is expected to detail his administration's crime prevention strategy as a series of major cities see spikes. It's a potential problem for the White House and congressional Democrats ahead of the 2022 midterms. It can even divide Democrats. Congresswoman Abigail Spanberger of Virginia, for example, blamed calls from some progressives to defund the police for the party's performance in last year's House races. More from Brett Samuels, White House reporter at The Hill. Brett, how bad are things?
Yeah, well, so we've seen, you know, crime actually, violent crime had been decreasing for a while, and then just over the last couple years, we've seen sort of a steady uptick, especially with the pandemic. We've noticed the data has shown, murders on the rise, violent crime on the rise as the economy shut down, as people were sort of locked inside with the virus. That really has sort of coincided with an increase in over the last year. And while it's not, certainly not at the levels that we saw 20 and 30 years ago, it's certainly a trend that the White House has taken notice of. And so we're going to see them address it sort of head on. And it'll be sort of the first time that President Biden sort of very directly addresses it and sort of acknowledges it as an issue.
This can hurt politically, and perhaps it did in 2020 to a certain extent. What's the political play here?
Yeah, so it's sort of a tough spot for President Biden, because this was an issue that Republicans really tried to elevate during the 2020 campaign. They tried to sort of simultaneously try two different tactics. One where they essentially branded him as soft on crime and Democrats as soft on crime, pointing to some of the defund the police calls from some Democrats. Then President Trump really, sided with law enforcement, tried to make himself the law and order candidate. And then on the flip side, in a totally different tactic, they sort of tied Biden to his vote on the crime bill in the 1990s, which led to the incarceration of a lot of people of color and black people in particular. So it's sort of a tightrope that President Biden will have to walk to sort of, make it clear that he, is tough on crime and will sort of stand up and provide the resources to stop these things, but also, show that he's changed his views from 30 years ago in the Senate.
Mm. We're speaking with Brett Samuels, White House reporter at The Hill. He's written a piece entitled "Rising Violent Crime Poses New Challenge for White House." There was somebody in your story who said there's a risk of overreacting to this. What was that about?
Yeah, I think, it's there is the potential that by focusing on it too much, it sort of makes it out to be a bigger problem than perhaps it is. It's obviously a big local issue for a lot of people, and crime has been on the rise, but certainly, proportionate to 20 years ago, it's nowhere near those levels. And then on the flip side, just politically, I think there's a risk that focusing on it too much sort of hands Republicans and hands the other side a talking point and allows them to say, look, this is a huge issue and Biden's not doing enough on it.
Yeah. And the politics at play here, too, are, for example, you referenced Chicago, 50 shootings in one recent weekend. The politics here are that the Democratic leaders in charge are to blame.
Right. And that's certainly something that, former President Trump, when he was on the campaign trail, he made a point to, every time he was near one of these cities would point to, essentially point and say, look at the party that's in control of these cities. It's always Democratic leaders that are running these cities. And in some cases, the states, where cities like, Chicago, New York City are having some of these issues. So, it is sort of a tricky issue for Democrats because, there's no easy solution to sort of get this under control immediately. But it does so happen that, it's easy for Republicans to say, well, areas like Chicago where crime tends to be the highest, that these cities have been run by Democrats for some time.
Right. Where does the White House stand, or what is the status of the defund police movement?
Right. So the White House has been very clear dating back to the campaign last year that, the president doesn't support defunding the police. The White House does not support defunding the police. They are in favor of investing more in police in different ways to sort of, improve policing, improve community policing.
Nice. Brett Samuels, White House reporter at The Hill. Coming up next, as we head back to the office, we're out of practice, apparently, for small talk.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like you're going 100 miles an hour, barely keeping up. But to cruise through challenges, you need someone who's right there with you. That's what Dell Technologies advisors do. They have the tech advice you need to get past whatever's in front of you and get to where you want to go. For advice on solutions like XPS 13 laptops powered by Intel Evo platform, call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Whether you're heading back to the water cooler or the watering hole, small talk is bound to be in your future as the world opens back up. But many people are afraid they've forgotten how to chit-chat. Tips on diving back in for Dr. Ivan Meisner, founder of the business networking group BNI. Ivan, what happened to us?
Yeah, you know, it's actually been a problem I've heard from a lot of people. The year-long lockdown, I think words matter. I like to call it the great pause because, you know, the pause button was hit on our life. It has, once outgoing people coming down with locobreathophobia, which is a big word meaning the fear of small talk. And so I don't want to bury the lead, so I'll start with the overarching strategy about small talk. Be more interested than interesting. And if you do that, small talk can happen pretty easily.
Yeah, you said in your piece, like, you got to ask questions, right? Come prepared at least.
Yeah. You got to ask some questions. And one great way to ask some questions is to start by reacquainting yourself with some pop culture or current events, weird news, celebrity-related stories. For example, Bezos going to space. That's an interesting conversation starter. Or Simone Biles, that double pike that she recently did. Oh, my goodness. That was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And, you know, things like that. You know, did you see that? Did you see that video? It was amazing. And so you just give a few feeder questions that, you know, gets the other person talking, and then you can hone in on a subject from there.
I've heard it said before that the most popular subject for yourself is you. It's the thing you're most comfortable talking about or know the most about. So ask somebody about themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can do that on a personal, you know, level or like I was saying, news, pop culture. But you can also do that on business-related topics. You know, you can ask them about what it is that they do. How did they become a accountant? You know, what surprised you most about the role? What's the craziest thing you ever had to do? Or you know, what led you into it? Here's a good one. What was the best career advice you ever received?
Yeah.
And what was the worst career advice you ever received in that field? These are questions that get people opening up and talking.
We're speaking with Dr. Ivan Meisner, networking specialist, founder of a group called BNI, also author of a book called The Connector Effect. We're talking about getting going again with your small talk as we reemerge from pandemic and perhaps are in groups of small people again. So I'm envisioning a networking event. There's a group of three or four people already engaged in conversation. I'm by myself.
Yeah.
How do I get into that small group? I can't just walk in and say, hey, excuse me, what was the greatest advice you ever got from a career standpoint?
Right.
You know what I mean? What's the small talk to enter that small group that's already underway and seemingly doing fine without me?
Right. So if it's a small group, three or four people, take a look at the room. You gotta look at the room and look for open groups, open twos, open threes, open fours. So an open two, if you had the God view, if you were looking down, an open two would look like a V. A closed two would be two people standing face to face, perpendicular with each other. An open three would look like a U from up above.
Mm-hmm.
So you could slip in on that. If it's like a huddle, you know, if you've got a square or a triangle where there's no space, then it's hard to slip in there. But if you've got a group of people that are talking and there's an open space, just slip in casually.
Yeah.
You don't have to even say anything. People will ask, hi, how are you? What's your name?
Yeah.
And they'll start the conversation with you.
Thanks, Ivan. Dr. Ivan Meisner, founder of BNI and author of the book, The Connector Effect. Don't forget to check out a podcast of the program. You can find it on our website, thismorningwithgordondeal.com, or on all the well-known podcast platforms. It is 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Democrats will have to find a new way to pass voting rights legislation after the Senate failed to advance the For the People Act. The bill yesterday received 50 votes in the Senate, short of the 60 needed to overcome a GOP filibuster, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
This vote, I'm ashamed to say, is further evidence that voter suppression has become part of the official platform of the Republican Party.
The legislation aims to counter regulations that make it difficult to vote, especially among people of color.
Number two.
With only 45% of Americans fully vaccinated and only 16 states that have fully vaccinated more than half of their populations, health experts are worried about the spread of the highly contagious Delta variant, which is 60% more contagious than the last variant of major concern. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky notes that those still dying from COVID are overwhelmingly unvaccinated.
Nearly every death due to COVID-19 is particularly tragic, because nearly every death, especially among adults due to COVID-19, is at this point entirely preventable.
The Biden administration won't reach its aspirational goal of getting 70% of adult Americans at least partially vaccinated by July 4th.
Number three.
Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams has the lead in New York City's Democratic mayoral primary, but it could be weeks before it becomes clear who is actually on top in the first citywide election to use ranked choice voting. Adams addressed supporters last night.
Social media does not pick a candidate.
Come on.
People on Social Security picks a candidate.
Adams is a former police captain who co-founded a leadership group for black officers. On the Republican side, the winner was Guardian Angels founder Curtis Sliwa. When is a tuna sub not really a tuna sub? When it doesn't have any tuna in it. Subway is again under fire after a lab test set up by the New York Times apparently detected no tuna DNA in 60 inches of tuna sandwiches that were examined. The lab says there are two possibilities for its inability to detect tuna. The first is that Subway's tuna is so heavily processed that if there is tuna in the sandwich, it couldn't be clearly identified. The second possibility is that there's no tuna. Subway says customers are getting 100% cooked tuna.
So heavily processed, it couldn't be clearly identified.
I think that might be it.
That sounds delicious. All right, can I have a tuna sub with a side of tuna, please? Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes in front of the hour. Coming up next, what to do with 150 Amazon packages you did not order.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for being with us. A New York woman is giving back to the community after more than 150 Amazon boxes that did not belong to her showed up at her house. Jill Kanan told CNN she started receiving packages at her home June 5th, thinking they were for her business. They were not. They were mask brackets. She called Amazon and explained and was told to keep them and put in a ticket for the mistake. The packages then started coming more frequently. Eventually, Amazon figured it out. Since Ms. Kanan co-owns a DIY studio, she got Amazon to donate the supplies, and her studio is now using these brackets to create DIY mask kits for patients at the local children's hospital. She's putting them together this week. She's talking to some other hospitals, too, in the area to donate the rest. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.